Good evening, this is Gary Black with the KUAC Newsminer Update. A Fort Wainwright man has been missing since early Monday morning, and law enforcement agencies and his father from Texas are trying to find him. So far, efforts to find 22-year-old Mason Heimer, or his gray pickup truck, have been unsuccessful. Heimer lives on Fort Wainwright, where he is a construction engineer and has been stationed for 8 months. On Monday morning, he texted his sergeant to say he was sick and had made arrangements to get checked out on the way to morning physical training. Bank and security camera records show that at 5:45 a.m., he drove near the Fort Wainwright gate, stopping at Walmart and the Johansson Expressway McDonald's. Then he went completely off the grid. Mason's father, Doug, says his son's sergeant called him Tuesday and that he immediately got on a plane to Alaska to help look for his son. He is offering a $10,000 reward for information about the location of Mason. A Facebook post he wrote about the search has been shared 8,700 times. Both the Alaska State Troopers and Fort Wainwright's military police are looking into the disappearance. Heimer said his son's cell phone has not pinged area towers since early Monday and that his son also has not used social media or his bank card. Troopers posted a news release about Heimer on Thursday afternoon. It describes Heimer as being 5'9" tall and 170 pounds with green eyes and blonde hair. His Dodge truck license plate is JFY485. The Resource Development Industry-backed group Stand for Alaska, Vote No on One, is accusing organizations behind the Salmon Habitat Ballot Initiative of misleading voters and, quote, flouting Alaska's campaign finance laws. Alaska Public Media reports that in a complaint filed yesterday with the state, Stand for Alaska alleges a series of violations by the organizations Stand for Salmon, the Alaska Center, and the group Yes for Salmon, Vote Yes on One. Katie Capozzi is Stand for Alaska's campaign manager.
We believe that campaign disclosure laws aren't being followed, and Alaskans aren't able to really get a clear picture of who is financing the, you know, Stand for Salmon / Yes for Salmon effort.
Stand for Salmon claims the groups are improperly reporting how they are coordinating the campaign, underplaying the Alaska Center's role. Stand for Salmon director Ryan Shriver calls the accusations groundless.
Stand for Salmon has taken many steps to make sure that we are fully compliant with all of the state and federal rules and laws and regulations. We take transparency very serious.
The complaint comes about a week after Stand for Alaska received its own fine from the state for not properly disclosing its opposition in its name. That fine resulted from a complaint filed by Stand for Salmon. A funeral service for Ashley Johnson Barr is happening tomorrow in Kotzebue. Hundreds are expected to assemble in the school gym to remember the 10-year-old girl who was found dead outside the northwest Alaska city a week ago. Family friend Eva Sheldon accompanied family members who brought Johnson Barr's body back from Anchorage yesterday.
When we left on the charter flight, the entire airport ceased operation. There were no planes moving, no carts moving. Everyone was watching, and they watched the flight take off in respect and honor.
Sheldon is handling flower donations, which she says have come from across the state and even outside Alaska.
People that used to live in Alaska, people that used to live in Kotzebue, people that never been to Alaska, just the outpouring of support and condolences. People wanted to help out, and, you know, donating flowers was a way for them to do that. And we've got flowers coming in from Hawaii and Minnesota, Florida, Washington.
Sheldon says there are also gifts and other donations for Johnson Barr's family and the broader community, including food, clothes, and toys, many in Ashley Johnson Barr's favorite color.
Anything that people found purple, they got dropped off to Worldwide Movers and Carol Sorensen, who's the owner of Worldwide Movers. She was really behind this, and she was determined, and she wanted to help, and so she just called all her friends, and they donated, and then she just went on a shopping spree, and then she got the owner of Linden to dedicate a plane for all the stuff that's coming up.
Sheldon says the donations, which arrived in boxes and pallets painted purple, are all aimed at healing.
What happened was very tragic, and it affected a lot of people, not just in Kotzebue, but in Alaska and outside of Alaska. And so a lot of people were willing to help and step up, and they did. And they did by the numbers, something that none of us ever thought of or imagined was going to happen.
Sheldon says the local community has also pulled together to remember Ashley Johnson Barr, support her family, and one another.
A little boy here, her classmate, dyed shirts purple for classmates to wear. And that was just heartwarming to see that. So everyone is contributing in one way or another.
State officials are expected to be among the many who attend Ashley Johnson Barr's funeral in Kotzebue Saturday. Nothing has been released about how Johnson Barr died. A local man, Peter Wilson, is charged with making false statements to federal officers investigating the case. No murder charge has been filed. And for more on tonight's stories, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I'm Gary Black.